Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you want a home in the Central Florida area for any size family to visit Walt Disney World, Universal, or any of the other Orlando attractions, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Hawaii at Aulani, Hilton Head Island, Vero Beach, or any of the other Disney resorts, contact DVCByRequest.com. Again, David's Vacation Club Rentals, DVCRequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter at any of the Disney World resorts, contact Scooter Vacations at ScooterLando.com. And last but not least, our great friends over at American Tourist Travel. If you want to book any Disney travel vacation, contact us at American Tourist Travel. I can help you personally. We also book anywhere else in the world you want to go. So please, guys, if you want to check out any of our sponsors, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. Now we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Have a great day.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined as a ride-along, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a car.
Hey, good afternoon, and if you ain't a gator, you're gator bait, Auburn.
Somebody's happy, huh?
Oh, yes. That was an impressive victory for my defense yesterday. That defense looks fantastic. So, really happy today. So good for them.
And this part of the podcast is being brought sponsored by the Adventures of Peas and Carrots. We're doing this for you, Carmen. You can check out the Adventures of Peas and Carrots on their YouTube channel. Check out our good friends, Carmen and Brian. And thank you for sponsoring Football Corner. We really appreciate it.
Football talk with John and Doug. Yeah. Everything you want to know about the Florida Gators and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, my Eagles won today, too, Johnny. Pretty big.
Good deal.
Yeah, they won 31-7, so it was pretty good. Or 31-6, I apologize. And it's so funny, dude. We got these local broadcasters that make me seem like Mr. Positive. How's that sound?
Oh my goodness.
Like, we beat the Jets. We could have beat them worse, but when you win by that much, John, I mean, how much is enough, you know? You're not showing every play. You're not showing your full hand. You're just trying to get this game over with and not get anybody else hurt, because we have a ton of people hurt. You follow me?
Absolutely. You pull ahead, you're going to start running the ball and playing conservative. Absolutely.
And you don't want to show every play in your playbook.
Follow.
Yeah, so, but as soon as I turn it on, you got the three of them. Michael Barkham, they I don't know why they're so happy. They should have destroyed them worse. And then you have Seth Joyner going, oh, my God, if this would have been a better team, they'd have lost. No, I mean, are you guys more? I mean, you just want to reach in. I mean, I would like to smack Seth. I know he'd pound the crap out of me, but I still want to smack him. Yeah, you know who Seth Joyner is, don't you?
Yeah, played several years ago, right?
Yeah, he's a monster. He's a big guy, and he was a great linebacker for us, but he's a bitter, bitter, bitter man. I mean, everything, there's nothing positive about him at all. Like I said, he makes me like Mr. Sunshine.
Well, maybe he has them all on the fantasy football, on his fantasy football league or something like that.
Nah, he's just a miserable putz. But anyway, my Birds won, your Gators won. We had a good weekend, Johnny.
Yeah, sure did. So.
You kicked my head in last week. Bangers is mashing me this week. It's not going good for me in fantasy football the last couple weeks.
Yeah, Lisa got so negative about it, she's about ready to quit. So.
You can't quit. You gotta see. You can't quit because you can't let somebody else win free games. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
You gotta try to the end. Because it's not fair to see. The way I look at it when I'm doing bad is, I got to do my best because it's not fair to the first half of the schedule, the people that you played compared to the – you know what I'm saying, Johnny?
Yeah, if you're going to lose interest, you know, we'd rather not really have you in the league because we want it competitive all the way through. So.
Exactly. It's like you want it to be where you might knock somebody else off and give somebody else the chance at the playoffs. You got to do your best all year long. My team's a mash unit. Pat Giannetti's team's a mash unit. You know, we were first and second last year. This year we're getting destroyed.
Yeah.
But it's not over yet. It's not over yet. So, but it's still fun.
Yep, exactly. So.
Yeah, you're doing good, Johnny. I mean, Boma Bombers is good. Are the Duckburgs Ducks, he's just destroying people.
Yes.
Nathan, he's doing really good. Monorail Bob's doing good. Saucer Mickey, Aaron Ryan. Our buddy Aaron, he got caught up in court, and he ended up coming in at the end, and his team's very good, and he's been doing very good. Judith
good
is 2-2. Matthew Watts, our buddy Bangers and Mash, he's going to go to 3-2 after beating me this week. And I was at 2-2. I'm right in the middle of the pack. Our buddy Tommy's leading our division, the Boma Bombers, at 3-1. I mean, if I could just get Tommy to stop liking the Patriots, me and him would be best friends forever, John.
Forever.
Forever. I mean, I just love the man. Like, 99%, he has to have that flaw.
Well, you know, nobody's perfect, Doug.
No, I mean, he has that beautiful wife, Judith, the one that takes care of everybody, and he has to like the Pats. I just don't get it.
Well, you know what? She's right there with him with the Patriots,
though. Yeah. But he's a wonderful, beautiful, upstanding citizen. I don't know how he could like such a horrible team like that. Like, I understand Dennis and Pat liking the Patriots, you know. But Tommy's so sweet and wonderful. I don't understand how he does. Got to try to work on that.
Yeah, it happens. Everybody's got an issue, you know.
Yeah, speaking of issues, John, what about those gondolas?
Whoops.
I mean, I woke up yesterday morning, or when I think this morning. I forget when it was.
Yeah, this morning.
This morning. And Sean from Tiki Talk, our friends over there at Tiki Talk, Sean's in the league. I don't even want to talk about his team. But anyway, he sends me a picture of the crash, and I just wrote back, awesome. I mean, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning I get this text. But it's like crazy, dude. I heard some people, the one guy was on it, he said he was inside when the other one was crushing against the one he was in.
Oh, nice.
And the glass started to crack a little bit. He heard everything. But
Yeah, Lisa sent me that story this morning. So I was like, oh, good. Yeah, something to talk about at work. So.
Did you hear there's an emergency package in them?
Yeah, they said underneath the seats, apparently there's bottles of water and, like, wipes or something like that. So.
Well, there's bottles of water. There's ice pack in there, just so we can know. There's an ice pack. There's even a notebook and paper. Like, what's that for?
You can send notes.
Yeah. Write your last will and testament if you're stuck in there too long in the summertime. There was something else that was in there too, but there's quite a few things inside the now everybody will start drinking the water for free.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Great, now everybody knows. So.
Anyway. I don't know, John. I mean, that's the thing that scared me the most of getting stuck up there in the middle of summer.
Yep. Exactly.
It seems like the fire truck's ladders could reach them, though.
Yeah, well, we saw them several times doing practice evacs for months before they ever were operational. So we all knew they could get them off. It's just they're going to have to work on the timeliness of that, that's for sure.
Now, were they all still down today, John? I heard it. From what I read, I think they're all down. Because last night, the news was reporting that just the Riviera line was down.
Yeah, that's what Lisa told me this morning. But I think, from what I heard at work, that they're all down right now. They go through safety protocols and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But I just wanted to double-check. And I wonder how long this is going to keep them down, John.
I don't know. But now, just pure rumors and speculation, because, you know, we don't base anything in fact here on our show. But, the rumor is around Disney is, you know, those are third party built. You know, Disney didn't build those. Those are actually gondolas, or the style of gondolas they use for a lot of ski resorts and stuff like that. And from what the third-party people are saying is, oh, this happens all the time, no big deal. And Disney's like, it is too a big deal.
Yeah, well, same people that built Primeval World will tell you it's a big deal.
That's no big deal.
Nah, they should be, it should be a big, it is a big deal. It should be a big deal. I mean, I wouldn't want to get caught up on one of them. And somebody was saying, earlier in the day that they were on it and it stopped like three or four times as they were on there. And the whole idea of it is it's not supposed to stop at all. There's supposed to be an area where handicap and people that have problems getting on and off get on, and then it re-merges with the line. That's never supposed to stop, is it, John?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. The way that, I mean, there's, it's just like Toy Story Midway Mania now, where there's a special disabled area where you can pull carts out or you can pull gondolas out, and it doesn't interrupt the main line. But as with anything, I mean, I noticed that me and Lisa were commenting on it when we took the test flight, that all of the cast members have e-stop buttons. They all have remotes on their belt to hit the e-stop. And right now, you're going to hit the e-stop if anybody, you know, okay, so somebody who is maybe elderly didn't know they were supposed to go into the other area, and they're taking too long to get into the gondola, you're okay. going to have to hit that e-stop. Or if there's a kid, he pops back out after there's a certain line, you're going to have to hit the e-stop. So I'm sure that's what's happening.
Okay.
People are just not used to getting into them just yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because some people were speculating that, you know, that was a starting the show, something was up, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you said that we usually don't state the fact. John, what I say is usually fact. Now, I don't want you to speak, you know, you can speak for yourself, but, you know, when I say something, it's usually factual, John. Pat with his disclaimers.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to send Big Al over a couple nice juicy steaks to teach Pat a little bit of a lesson. What do you think?
Hey, that sounds good. I think that dog could eat about 4 steaks in a sitting. What do you think?
I think so. Presley tried to eat me before the show started.
Somehow I don't find that surprising.
Oh, no, that idiot. He's like his father. He talks just as much as I do, and I lost my voice telling him to stop. Me and Brenda's trying to have a conversation. And sometimes we're talking, he just stands right between us and won't shut up because he don't want us talking. He's so ornery, man. I just love him so much, but he drives me insane. He really does.
Hey, he sounds like any family member.
Yes. He's the most loved and orneriest one. He's just bad. But, no, I was sad to see it. I mean, I'm still excited about getting on him, but it's a little scary, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to see if this is an ongoing issue or if this was a one-time occurrence, you know, and something was bound to happen. You know, it's a brand-new ride system, and so I tell you the truth, I'm hoping that they learn from it, they evaluate things, and maybe make something a little smoother, and then thankfully nobody got hurt, you know, so I realize people were horribly inconvenienced, but I'm fairly certain Disney really made it up to them, so...
Oh, yeah. I watched all the newscasts last night, so I watched all the Florida newscasts. Not last night, today. After I heard about it this morning, I put on last night's news is what I was trying to say on YouTube. I went to all the channels on Orlando to reporting on it and seen the video.
Right.
Yeah, you'd think they were taking 700 people out of a burning building the way they were talking about it.
No. But, I know. Anything that happens at Disney or Universal is the same way. Anything that happens on property, it's a major deal. Major, major deal.
The thing that cracked me up, though, was it. But it's true. They were like, this happening after what happened with the monorail 2 weeks ago, it really starts throwing up red flags. I mean, you know, things. It's just more and more stuff like this is happening than ever before. You can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the monorail is a different story altogether. You know, this is a new, the gondolas are a new ride system, and I'm sure there's going to be some bugs to work things out. But the monorail, that's just, I really don't get why those have not been updated. It really boggles my mind as to how that has not been you know, how we have not had new monorails in 20-something years.
Yeah, well, Bob needed a couple new Rolls Royces and a limo.
He probably got those anyway, so I don't know, maybe just for his Lamborghini and his Maserati.
Well, what happened when Disney's transportation update came in and he had to sign off on it, he thought it was his transportation and they didn't pay to, he bought his own stuff. Did you hear also what he's doing with Netflix and all now?
No.
Any station that's owned by Disney, from what I'm reading, I'm just reporting it. Supposedly, John, or you know, hypothetically, or however you got to say it, so we don't get yelled at or sued. But the thing I've seen is now that once they start the streaming, they don't want any Netflix advertisement or any other companies advertising on any of their channels. I've never seen that before in my life.
I don't know. It's the weirdest thing because Freeform is Disney's like young adult teenage channel. You know, they've had like Star Wars Rebels on there and stuff like that. But then they also play all the Harry Potter movies.
Exactly.
It's always confused me, but I don't know.
Yeah, but all of a sudden now they're saying that Netflix or Hulu or none of them is going to be allowed to be advertised on ABC or any of the Disney-owned channels. Which, if I was all those channels, then, man, I'd boycott everything Disney. But the problem is, people, Disney owns everything, apparently, now,
yeah,
in television.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, that's a good question. Think about it. I wonder if ABC, ESPN ever airs a Universal Orlando Resort.
They have, yes, they have. Because, dude, on ESPN, you'll have different competitions and different things that are from there, and they'll have live from Universal. They have had Universal commercials on there. And like you said, okay. Harry Potter, all that stuff. And I've also seen NBC 10, which is local here, which is owned by Comcast and Universal, which is just as big as Disney almost, John. They are as big as Disney.
Yeah.
Universal's as big as Disney because they all own it. So I've seen Disney commercials on there, and I've seen some of their shows actually give away Disney trips, if you follow me.
So
now are you going to see Universal and all them, which I wouldn't blame them if I was. I mean, they're really getting a little they're getting a little big for their britches, if you ask me, because Comcast owns the cable companies. They're up and down they're all over the country. I mean, that Comcast is still a lot bigger than what Disney streaming channel is. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, I would think so, certainly.
So if I was Comcast, I would ban any Disney commercial on any channel that they don't own.
Maybe they will. I don't know.
I just find it funny. It's like it's sad is what it is. It's just like it's them again. Like I just don't get them. How they're trying. It seems like they're trying to get rid of everybody. If you follow me, it's hard to explain, but it just seems like. I feel like they're getting too big for their britches.
Do you think they want to monopolize your entertainment dollars?
Yes.
Is that what you're trying to tell me? Yes.
Yeah, but it's like it's kind of like they want to push everybody away. It's hard to explain how. I was taken aback. I'm like, well, I mean, at the end of the day, it really don't matter to me because it's all corporate crap. But I couldn't believe like what they're trying to do here. Like, so wouldn't all these other companies do the same to you? Does everybody have to be fighting with everybody is what my point is, John.
I don't know. The fact that Universal and Orlando and Disney go at it here is it just makes me happy because it brings out the best. I'm hoping it brings out the best in Disney. I mean, we would have never got Star Wars at Hollywood Studios if Harry Potter wouldn't have been such a success, and we probably wouldn't have got Hagrid's new roller coaster at Universal if Avatar hadn't been such a success. So, and that part I'm very happy with. When they compete against each other, it's great. The consumer gets the best entertainment available, you know. So.
100%. So how was your day at Pirates today, John?
That's pretty good. So if you're coming to... Doug, if you're coming to Orlando on vacation, you're going to Disney specifically, and your wife wants that T-shirt that says "Best Day Ever," and then you think you're going to be so clever and unique and funny, and you're going to wear a shirt that says "Most Expensive Day Ever," don't do it. Just don't do it. that's been done and done and done. You're not funny. You're not humorous. You're old and done. I mean, I see that shirt probably 150 times a day. Okay, folks, we've seen it. We've seen it. We got it. It's very expensive. Yes.
So my shirts are selling big time down there, right?
Every time I see one, I think of you. So.
That's
why I'm tired of seeing it.
But I'm spending it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, our good buddy Dennis is down there. Hopefully you get to see him tomorrow, John.
Yeah, I'll be at the train tomorrow, so hopefully he comes by and says Jumbo. And, you know, he was going to say Ahoy, but now he has to say Jumbo. So.
Yeah, and you got to see our buddy Robbie.
Yeah, I saw him on the train last Monday, so.
How's he doing?
He seems like he's having a great time. I know he's, once again, eating at all the best establishments on property, and it looks like he's had some great meals. I haven't heard anything really disappointing this time. I know he wasn't going back to the California Grill, correct? Isn't that where he's had a couple of disappointing experiences?
Yeah, he didn't go there. I know he went over to my Spice Road Tables and got some spicy garlic shrimp and lamb, and he loved it.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, it sounded like it was quite the delicious meal. So.
Yeah, me and Brenda were just talking about that last night, dude. I love Spice Road Tables.
Yeah, it's a good deal. We got to get back over there. We haven't probably eaten out anywhere since Beer Garden with Judith and her son. So it's been a while. John's trying to get caught up. So once he does, we'll be back out there.
No, I hear you. Yeah, me and Brenda, we've eaten there every time since it opened, dude. I just love it there. We love the atmosphere there. We love everything about that restaurant. You know, I've never had a bad meal there. I mean, and speaking of meals, John, our buddy Dennis, he's been eating pretty good too so far of what I've heard. He's had Marimota Asia. He had Via Napoli. And then he had Flying Fish.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's getting off that wallet to spend some bucks on dinner too, isn't he?
Oh, you know all those highfalutin New Englanders. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, them rich guys. I know how they are.
Yeah. I get to see him now drinking his coffee at the end of the meal with his pinky curled.
Probably.
Yeah, but now I don't know where he's eating the last couple nights. They were the first three nights, so I can't wait to get him on the show to get all these dining reviews.
Yeah, that sounds great. So.
And I was speaking to Judith. I was speaking to Jen and Scott from the Happiest Vlogs on Earth. We're going to have them on soon, John. I'm excited about that. Hopefully we could talk Carmen to come on and join us, so... we're going to have some good shows coming up. Bobby's going to come back on. It should be pretty interesting. Now that winter's coming, with the winter's coming, John, we can hunker in and get some more shows done.
Winter is coming. Doug, real quick, I just want to say hi to Anthony. He's a buddy of mine on the trains and actually listens to our show, believe it or not. So a big jumbo to Anthony there.
Hey, Anthony, I heard I'm your favorite, so it's nice talking to you, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah, that's cool. And, John, speaking of that, we also, you know, we got another wonderful person went over to iTunes and left us a review.
Hey, fantastic. Now if I could just get some of my friends from the show to go over to somewhere on Disney and leave me a positive feedback on Disney, that would be great, too.
Well, you got to start doing a good job, John, to get that, don't you?
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
I'm only kidding, sunshine. But anyway, it's Al S. from Cut and Shoot, Texas. Doug and John are Doug, John, and occasionally Bob and Dennis are great. Doug's rants are loved. I love you, Al. I appreciate this show on how it is reality and not fantasy. I have been listening to WDW Main Street since the beginning with Doug and Scott. That's pretty cool, ain't it?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Good for him.
I hope your psychiatry bills aren't too high from listening to us all these years, Al. This is a must-listen every week in capital letters, no matter what. Always at the top of my list. Always at the top of the list for me. So, Al, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate that.
That's fantastic, and that's a guy that actually stuck with us after, you know, when you and Scott kind of had your hiatus there for a couple of weeks. So, yeah, good for him. Good deal.
Yeah, I really and refining us with I had to re. do the channel because, you know, with all everything that went down, thank you, Al, for being a loyal listener. We really appreciate
fantastic.
It. So, it's nice to know people out there like us, John.
Yeah, occasionally. You know, we hit the right notes with some people.
Yes. Speaking of the right notes, let's go there. Did you hear the notes and the music from, did you see the new Epcot Forever debuted at Epcot?
I heard it debuted. I heard it wasn't all that fantastic, but I heard it debuted.
I watched it. So do you want my review?
Yes.
Now, listen, guys, I'm not going to be Dougie negative because I'm going to miss Illuminations. It's never going to meet Illuminations, but I'm praying that it does, and I'm not saying I hate it. But I watched the whole thing on a big flat screen. I know it's nowhere near watching it there, but I had the surround sound on, John. I put the chair in the middle of the room. I had the music blaring. I tried to get myself as close to being there as possible. It was good. I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed what it was. But there's three parts I like. Two times when Walt speaks and one time when Soren plays. It doesn't imagine...
That's when the kites come out, right?
What's that? Yeah, when the kites are flying and all that. And, you know, the Soren music gets me every time. I mean, you could also be you could almost be shooting a BB gun at me, and I'd be, if Soren music is playing while it's happening, I kind of might enjoy it, or a little bit. You know, I just love that music. It makes the best out of a bad situation. But the rest of the show was just like, how can I put it? Like, know how all the fireworks seem to make sense during Illuminations and how everything goes and the ball spinning and the drama? There's none of that. There's none of that for me. There's nothing that... Nothing connects one to the other for me. It seemed like it didn't have the same connection to me.
It just didn't have that flow.
I mean, there was people that were listening to it. You'd think it was the greatest show ever, the way they were hooting, hollering, and cheering. But to me, it was almost a basic fireworks show. Now, if you guys disagree with me, let me know. I'm not trying to trash it. I'm still holding out hope for what really replaces it. You know what I'm saying, John? Because this isn't the permanent one. This is just temporary.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Just keep in mind, this is a band-aid. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're getting rid of Illuminations, and there's supposed to be this spectacular show, I guess, a year from now. So in the meantime, we've kind of got a band-aid just to cover a nighttime show at Epcot. But you know, I mean, I think they couldn't do a whole lot because they're gonna have to. They're doing work around the lagoon to install the stuff for the big new show coming. So. I'm hoping it's good enough to keep you entertained, but I don't know if I'm gonna make sure I go and watch it within the next couple of weeks. But after that, I don't know if I would go out of my way to see it every time we go to Epcot. So
again, I enjoyed it. It was good. I mean, it's better than a standard fireworks show, but compared to Disney shows, it's kind of like a River of Lights to me. You follow
me? That's what I was gonna say. Given the choice of that or Rivers of Light, which one are you going to?
I'd probably go to that because I love Epcot more. But getting in and out of Epcot now, I don't know.
What if they take the gondolas to the International Gateway, but maybe not? So,
And I seen a video on them, which was pretty interesting. It showed after that fireworks let out, after Happily Ever After let out.
The new Epcot show, not Happily Ever After.
Oh, what I say? I said Happily Ever After, the Magic Kingdom show, the Epcot Forever. Happily Ever After, Epcot Forever. You got it, man. It's pretty damn close. But anyway, after Epcot Forever ended, and it had, I know Dave from the Mickey Dudes will enjoy it because it had one little spark. It had Imagination Song in it. I mean, it's not horrible, John. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it a 4.
Well, Dave hated Illuminations, from what I always heard.
Well,
so.
Then I hated this show, and Figment's horrible. Just kidding. But anyway, it showed people leaving after Epcot Forever and getting on the gondolas. And it showed that it took them, it was a big crowd, it took them like 20 minutes to get on from the back of the line to the front of the line. A full line is like a 20-minute wait. So, it isn't horrible because I've waited for a bus 20 minutes.
You know, that's not bad. I mean, if you want to get there in a quicker time, then probably walk if you're at Boardwalk. Or, well, no, you can't walk. So, never mind. Yeah, 20 minutes isn't all that bad. Especially, I mean, we never leave directly after the fireworks anyway. We kind of sit and hang out for a little bit and take our time. So by the time we get over there, it'd probably only be 10, so that'd be fine.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, dude. I've waited. I mean, I'm not being smart, but one of the reasons we – and I am being smart because I'm intelligent. I'm a genius. But anyway, when we – one of the reasons made us start driving and parking was, dude, the buses at Epcot were the absolute worst.
Yeah, you're right, especially after Illuminations. They tend to be really bad. And there's kind of a credo that we kind of – we learn in training when it comes to long lines. And that is that moving feet are happy feet. So as long as you can keep people's feet moving, they seem to be in a better mood than just standing in one position. So if you're going to wait 25 minutes for a bus, but you're just standing in one position the entire time, or if you're on the gondolas waiting the same 25 minutes, but you keep edging forward, you keep moving a little bit, that keeps you more entertained, or it keeps your hopes alive.
110%, John. 100%, yeah. You're right. I was going to make that same point, because you seem like you're getting something accomplished. I mean, I've literally stayed out in front of Epcot, like me and Brenda, and the last couple times we rode the bus that we left, and that's what made us start driving. Because we always had our car there with us, but we always took transportation. But, like, the two times in a row, we waited out front of Epcot, a bus came, and we literally waited for the next one because the bus was so crowded.
Yeah.
So we were out there for, like, 45 minutes, you follow me, waiting to just get a bus. So we were like, nah, we're going to drive from now on. And that's when I started booking dinners and lunches and breakfasts at Epcot, at Boardwalk and Yacht and Beach Club, and you know what I mean?
Yep, I gotcha. Yeah, so you can find a way to park where you need to. So.
Yeah, 100%. Let's continue with some food, John. Menu with pricing now available for the new Enchanted Rose Lounge at Disney's Grand Floridian. I think our buddy Robbie ate here or was there when it opened, so we got to try to get him on to give us a review of it, John.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, that's the new lounge that replaced Meisner's, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the prices don't look bad here, John. Because before we get into this, did you seen my post? I actually ate it. I went to Victory Brewing Company again this weekend.
Yeah, good for you. Look at you.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was nice. My wife was feeling, you know, we were having a good time. She's, you know, feeling good. And we decided to go up to Lancaster to have a nice weekend, a nice day. And I took Mom up. We went out and had some snacks and some breakfast. And then we roamed around Lancaster and got some pumpkins. You've been to Lancaster before, right, John?
I think so. When I was stationed in Philadelphia, yeah, I think we went up in the Poconos and stuff like that. I think we drove through Lancaster. I don't think I stopped.
Okay, so. You probably went by it, then you weren't in it. Lancaster's where all the Amish live. It's like Amish country.
I definitely drove in through it because I had to the swerve to avoid the horse and carriages. All
yes, a couple of the buggies.
Yep.
But yes, we go up there. We used to go up there all the time. It's the first time we've been up. When we first got married, we were up there 2-3 times every year because we loved it up there. We went up with my dad and stayed over the weekend before up in there, and we enjoy it up there. Well, there's a bunch of outlet malls and stuff like that. And then all the Amish country has all the, you know, the woodworking, you know, the all kind of fruits, vegetables. There's all kind of craft stores. You name it, it's up there. So we have a good time. My wife bought a bunch of Halloween, and we bought a flag for Halloween and Thanksgiving and some pumpkins and a bunch of nice stuff. She bought some things for the house. So we had a really good time. And then on the way home, Victory's only like 15-20 minutes. It's in Downingtown, half hour from up there in Lancaster. So it's kind of on the way home. So we decided, let's go by Victory Brewing Company and have a lunch and take Mom over to see it. We had a really good time.
Yeah, sounds like it. Now, you know, I believe the second biggest settlement of Amish folks in the world, you know where that is, right?
In Lancaster?
No, after Lancaster. You know where the other place is?
What, down in Florida?
In Sarasota.
Okay. I didn't know that, John.
Yeah, and it's unique because I have a lot of stops over on the beach. So I'm over on Siesta Key, which is a beautiful beach.
I know where Siesta Key is.
Oh, it's gorgeous. But there are Amish folks that go to the beach, and they wear the whole get-up and ride their bicycles all the way over to the beach and then ride their bicycles all the way back. And I'm always thinking, God bless you. You must really love the beach. So, yeah.
Now, did they have the standard pedal bicycles, or do they have the the skateboard style bicycle?
No, as far the everyone I've seen is either a standard bicycle, or a lot of the older folks are riding the big three wheels.
Okay. See, up in Lancaster, they have these bicycles, John, that have the big bike tires, and it has a seat on it, but there's no crossbar and no pedals. What it does, the frame goes all the way down and makes like a skateboard at the bottom. So they put one foot on that and push like a skateboard and steer it and ride it.
Oh, that sounds pretty convenient.
Oh, dude, they move, man. They were flying. There was this one girl keeping up with our car in traffic. I mean, she was moving. So
that's actually what I was gonna say. A lot. You don't know how many times I'm jealous of them when I'm sitting in that traffic trying to leave Siesta Key at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and they go past me, and I'll never see them again. They're gone. So, and I'm still there. You know.
Nah, dude. So yeah, we went up there. I had their fish and chips, which was really good, but I still have to say Yorkshire is the best.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Yorkshire is very good. My wife and my mother had these hot turkey avocado sandwiches. Man, they were really good because they had these special sauces and all of them. It was very good. And then I had a scrapple dumplings, John.
All right. I can't believe your wife let you get away with that one, but all right.
It slipped by her because of everything healthy that was in it. She didn't realize scrapple was in them. She actually had one and a half. They were very good because it had a bunch of other healthy stuff in it. But they were really, really good. And then I also had, which this will bring Brenda back into the fold. We had a Parmesan cauliflower. So that was very good. It was like cooked the way they made this. It was an appetizer made out of cauliflower. So it was really, we had a good time.
Oh, good deal.
So then I came home, put the flag up, went to work. Yeah, we.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, but anyways, let's get into food as I went sidetracked there. Menu with the pricing now available for the Disney's Enchanted Rose Lounge at Disney's Grand Floridian. Located in Miser's Lounge, Beauty and the Beast inspired Enchanted Rose offered small bites and range in specialty cocktails. The small plates range in price from $14 for truffle fries up to $95 for caviar.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be eating that one.
Yeah, me and you're going to have some truffle fries, and we'll let Dennis and Judith and them guys have the caviar.
Yeah, you know what? I worked for a company that did caviar, and I tried it. I can frankly say I'll never spend the money on it, that's for certain. No.
On the drink menu, specialty cocktails are priced at deluxe resort price points, with a seasonal old-fashioned costing $25 and a martini $17. An opening date is yet to be announced, but the finishing touches are now being applied for imminent opening. Yeah, Robbie was around there, and this is 2 days ago, so I don't know if he got to see it and didn't go in it or was there, you know what I mean? I know he was at Meisner's, the pop-up lounge. So the pop-up they have downstairs or something like that, they had some drinks there. He had an old-fashioned, so we're going to have to talk to him about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have, for starters, a crab and a ganache gratin. Jumbo lump crab, ganache sardi, robola boise moray, citrus breadcrumbs for $16. I know I butchered them, but I'm sorry. But that's what
I'm gonna go with gnocchi, but okay.
No, I'm saying nachi.
All right.
John, this is a long running joke on the show. You correct me all the time. I'm thinking you have your iPad. That looks really good, John. The jumbo love crab. Crab.
And it sounds good.
Gnocchi gratin really looks good. The artesian cheese selection, artesian cheeses, pine nut bread, raisins on the vine. They have an espalette pepper spice shrimp, and that looks pretty good. That's $19. House-made flatbread, which is $18. A charred broccolini, seasonal mushroom, fennel sausage, ricotta salata, and a tomato confit. Truffle fries, which is $14. They have octopus here, John, with black olives, blistered tomatoes, and potatoes for $18. Mini smoked short rib sliders. There's a picture of them. They really look good. Glazier blue cheese onion marmalade on split top buns for $16, and a white sturgeon caviar for $95. Then they got a ton of featured cocktails. I'm not going to get on in all of them. They have anything that you would want.
I would imagine. So.
Yeah. And then the beer and hard cider, they got Bud Light, they got Cigar City, Cracker White Ale. You ever had that, John?
Yeah, that one's all right, but I certainly prefer my High Life. But still.
Three Daughters Bimini Twisted IPA.
Bimini,
however you want to say it. Samuel Adams Seasonal, I like Sam Adams, so they have Stella, which is my buddy Eric's favorite. Kona Longboard Island Lager, I'm in, Johnny.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I love my Kona Longboard. The Schaffenhoppers Pomegranate Hefeweizen, you like that, Johnny?
That one's okay. The grapefruit's a little more popular, but the pomegranate's not bad. So.
St. Bernardus ABT. Abbey Ale, 12 Abbey Ale, Belgium.
Yeah, that's a strong beer. If you're not accustomed to beer, it's a good beer, very good. But I think the 12, I think means 12%.
I think so too. It's right there with your Laffin de Stinky Mont.
Uh huh. It'll rock your world. So be careful if you get one of those.
Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, a Dogfish Head 90-minute Imperial IPA, Left Hand Milk Stout. An Angry Orchard Rose Hard Cider. And then they have a bunch of wines on here. But I figured I'd read the beers because that's what we drink, John.
Yeah. They've got some nice beers. I wonder how many of them are on draft and which ones are just in cans and stuff. But, yeah, that Left Hand Milk Stout's very good. It's slightly sweet, which may be a bit off-putting for some people. But as far like maybe a beer after dinner or something, I thought it was fantastic. So.
Creating the new holiday decor for Disney's Animal Kingdom. Tell you what, the holidays really look beautiful there, John. I seen all the decorations. It's really going to be beautiful there at Christmas.
It's going to be interesting to see how that is incorporated in, because you really, when you think of Christmas, you don't necessarily think of Animal Kingdom. So it'll be interesting to see how they take the natural looking elements and try to. I know they're going to do a lot of supposedly winter animals, which in Florida is. None, but I guess they're going to have polar bears and penguins and that type of stuff. I guess the animals you think of when you think of Christmas, and I guess the North Pole, right? So,
well,
although yes, I know penguins are from the South Pole. I know, but no. I'm just saying.
Let me put it this way, Johnny. My wife has been. She'll tell you, John. I've been saying it for years. I would love to see that park decorated at night because that park at night is and. I know it is, but it's the darkest park, if you follow me. It's the most, it's so peace and calm and tranquil at nighttime there. And I've always said that I would love to see how Disney would decorate that for Christmas. And with how dark and tranquil it is in there, I really think it'll be beautiful with all the Christmas lights throughout that park.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
So I'm looking forward to that. The latest look at the Disney Riviera Resort, which that's going to be opening real soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, because that's a DVC resort that hopefully me and Lisa can get into. So,
Crappy Butt Primeval World's been testing the last couple days. That should be opening again soon. But just Disney, get rid of that. You're ripping all kind of crap out of the parks. Just make that one more thing.
Take it one step further and just get rid of Chester and Hester's entire area, please. I would love that.
Yeah, but. I mean, I know Jen will attack you because she loves the Boneyard. She's been going there since she's been a little girl, but.
Well, I don't even necessarily mean that area. I just mean all them silly Huckster games and Primeval World. And I don't even care about Triceratops Spin. Leave that. Just get rid of that old Chester and Hester's crap.
Well, they can get rid of that, too, if you ask me. But that whole area, John, you're 100% right. Literally the skin on the back, the hair on the back of my neck stands up every time I go through there. I mean, I forget about it. I hate it so much, John. This is the truth, too. I hate that area so much, I think I black it out of my mind. And then I'll go roaming back through there, and I walk into that carny land, and I just want to scream. I hate it so much.
And not to mention, they're one of the ugliest outfits that the cast members have to wear, too. I mean, just the whole thing is just,
it's just horrible. Beatrix Disney Springs site is setting preparation. They're going to be getting ready to rebuild that new restaurant, John. I'm excited about that. Getting rid of Bongos is finally gone.
Yeah. Well, with everything else that's new out at Disney Springs, they're going to have to – the ones that are there are either going to have to step up their game or replace them with new ones. I guess like Portofino has been replaced, and so now Bongos is going, right? So.
This was a few days ago. I screamed and yelled about it. Like Pandora in Africa, early closures this week for they had parties in there or special events. I just find it appalling that they close Kilimanjaro Safari in the middle of the day. I mean, it just pissed me off. Africa will close from 4 p.m. on Thursday and open Friday on the 4th. I mean, how do you charge people full ticket price and close that at 4 o'clock and then close Pandora later on that night at 8? Like, why just tell people stay, don't come in. We don't want you in here. We got special people coming here. You're riffraff to us today.
Well, as I was leaving, Doug, guess what time the Magic Kingdom closed today?
Yeah.
What time? It was a Halloween party, so they closed at 6. So.
Yeah. Ain't that nice, John?
Not really, no.
No, it's asinine. It just pisses me off, and it always will. And I'll tell you what, there's a slow swelling for that too, John. Slowly but surely, people are getting more and more aggravated with it. I see more and more complaints online, a lot more. Like slowly, they're coming over to Doug's dark side. More, they are selling even more too. Disney Early Morning Magic returns the Magic Kingdom this fall.
Ooh, all right. You know, the opening shift there is already at 6:15. I don't know. I don't know how much earlier they can get for the gap.
Yeah. Disney Early Morning returns in Magic Kingdom this fall. The $89 event plus you got to have that day's park admission. So $89 event gives you early access to the park before day guests are admitted. So the real people that are paying get screwed over by these extra people. The attraction's operating from 7:45 to 9 a.m. So people like Bob, who say that he don't understand how he does rope drop and gets back to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and it's a 45-minute wait. This is why, people.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
So rope drop means nothing to you anymore. Also included is breakfast at Cosmic Rays. Oh, my God, that's so wonderful. Starlight Cafe, available from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. So basically, what they're hoping is you don't even go to that breakfast by making short. You should be – see, this is where Disney are such buttheads as far as ripping you off. They should give you a counter service meal voucher if you pay this freaking $89. Do you disagree with me on that, John? You should be able to eat when you want.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, come on. $89 you're paying. This is what's going to happen, people. This is why the prices keep going up. You're paying $89 for an hour and 15 minutes. 7:45 to 9 a.m. you're paying for. John, would you pay $89 for an hour and 15 minutes in the parks?
No, I wouldn't, so...
Oh, my God.
But Doug, like you said before, this one doesn't really affect anything. I mean, it.
Well, now it does. You have to have regular park admission because all these people to pay, they're on before you.
That's the people that are buying. I mean, if they want to spend that money, I mean, but the Magic Kingdom's going to open at 9 o'clock for everybody else anyway. So, I mean.
What happened to getting up early and being first in line and being able to run through the park and get on what you want to, John?
Well, that's what people are supposed to do. So, but
well, now it's not. Now, if you got an extra $89 and you're born from privilege or have money, getting up early and working hard for it doesn't mean nothing anymore. You could buy your way in. Is what they're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Again,
if you think that's a new idea, that you're
no,
you're
it's just. It, but I mean, that was never the Disney idea, John. It never that Walt created the park so everybody was equal. Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong. No, I'm not.
Back there was never this before. There was never you paid for one day and that was it. You got up early and did rope drop. You got to go on the rides first. It's how it always was.
There's been VIP tours for Walt Disney World since Walt Disney World opened.
Not like that, John. 10, 12 people going in with a tour guide is not equivalent to a few thousand people paying the extra $89. You're arguing apples and oranges.
If you have the money to pay, you get special treatment. It's the same thing.
No, it's not. This is quadruple the amount of people, John. It's totally different. It's apples and oranges.
If you have the money to pay, you get special treatment. It's the same thing.
No, because there was never no, because they wouldn't allow that many people. There was only so many. John, all I know is in the 80s and I mean in the 90s and the early 2000s, if I got at the park at rope drop, I walked in and nobody was in front of me in line. Now I know if I go to the park at Magic Kingdom at 9 a.m., there's rides that are, all the main rides already have people waiting on them. That's all I know. That's the difference. I never noticed any VIP crap until the last 5 or 6 years. That's
yeah,
just
there's,
me.
There's
I've
plenty
never...
of people that spend that money for VIP. I mean, we get tour group after tour group, and then you have to sit and explain to people why we stop the line to allow them through. So I mean, it's gotten the same thing.
So the parties are the same too. All the Halloween parties, they're the same. They're not letting more people in, are they?
What do you mean?
Well, it's not the same because it's just like the parties. They're taking every last buck. They never would have these amount of peoples in the park early. Now, just like the Halloween parties, they're letting 5 and 6 times the amount of people that they ever allowed into those parties before. It's the same thing with this VIP stuff. Yeah, they used to have special people that would come in. You might have 30, 40 people in a day. It was never 3,000 or 2,000 that paid in advance. You never noticed those people before. Now you notice them people all the time. Every time you go to the Magic Kingdom, either in the morning or night, there's somebody in your that the park is overcrowded to me. It's not the same. It's 100% different.
Well, to me, it's the same thing. If you have money, you get special treatment. It's the way it is. It's the way it's always been. So.
No, we'll agree to disagree. But anyway, operating hours include the many adventures of – it's not even all the rides. It's many adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Princess Fairytale Hall, It's a Small World, Mad Tea Party, Peter Pan and Under the Sea and Journey of the Little Mermaid. No pirates, no Splash Mountain, no Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Your whole side of the park, John, is what's the other one, the boat ride?
Jungle Cruise.
None of that's available.
No, you're paying $90 to go ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is what you're doing. You couldn't get the Fast Pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and you didn't want to get up early on another day, so you're going to get up early on this day, pay $90, and go ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is what you're doing.
Yeah, then you're going to leave there after you paid for that, and you're going to go get My Way on Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and the TTA and all that. I'll walk up to the TTA and say, why is there 400 people in line here? Oh, the park opened earlier today because Disney grubbed more money. Oh, it's so aggravating. And there's a ton of dates. A ton.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
A ton of dates. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, let me go through the dates here, if they have them here again. They don't have them in this article, but there was a bunch of them, John. It's a bunch of days. It's probably an extra 15 days or something that I seen. So.
Yeah, I would imagine. And as long as, Doug, the thing is, as long as people pay for it, they're going to keep it.
Well, that's my point I'm screaming about. Stop it. No, seriously, it's like,
well,
stop.
You're preaching to the choir. I'm not going to spend $90.
It's just stupid. It's just stupid. Like, just walk. Do me a favor. Walk up to somebody that's really hurting it, could use it, that's working 4 jobs to try to support their family, and hand them freaking $90, because that's what I would rather see you do. Anyway, speaking of something happy for me, I did see the beautiful – have you seen the pictures of Remy's from the Skyliner, the back of France? That looks absolutely – it's big, dude. There's 3 buildings back there.
Yeah, it's going to be a big attraction, and that's going to be a whole new little square back there, a little area, you know, a whole little area back there. So it's going to be interesting to explore that. So.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this. I mean, I'm curious to see what the shops are and the restaurants are because, you know, the French restaurants are really good. So, you know, whatever they add back there is going to be really good.
Oh, absolutely. I know your wife is this is going to be one. You know, this is when you're going to be able to easily talk Brenda into going. Come on, Ratatouille's there.
So, oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Let's go back to Epcot, John. All the demolition and all the walls up in Epcot. I mean, I'm excited about the future, but I'm so sad about the end of my Epcot as I know it.
Yeah, it's going away. So I'm hoping their neighborhood idea for Future World works out. But Future World's been ailing for years. You know that. So, I mean, really the best part of Epcot always has been for me was World Showcase, obviously. So as long as they leave my World Showcase alone, I'm okay. And, yeah, you know, keep Thorin, keep Test Track, but other than that, and Spaceship Earth, obviously. But, you know.
Yeah, they took the Innovations West is coming down and a bunch of – the only thing I'm PO'd about, John, is, and I'm not usually mad at much, is I just wish last trip – you know, a few months ago when I was down there, I would have took more pictures at Epcot, even though I got pictures of everything. But I wish I'd have did a video or a timeline of all of Future World before all this went up, just for a little memory to have, if you follow me.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been interesting to, and then, you know, in two or three years to compare it to what it's going to be. So.
Yeah, because I do, I'm going to miss it, John. I'm going to miss, I have so many memories about the front of from, you know, Future World with my family, and I know you do too, and Mouse Gears and Ellen and living with the land. I mean, all that area, the way everything ran together, both Interventions buildings, how the fountain was and Spaceship Earth, everything's changing. I mean, there's nothing going to be the same up there except for, I think, Test Track and Soarin'.
Yeah, I think you're right. Everything else is going to get some kind of facelift or be totally demolished and redone. So.
Yeah, because I'm not 100% sure that Living with the Land will survive it either when it's all said and done.
And Living with the Sea, I mean, the Living Seas almost has to, because I still don't know what they do with that aquarium and all the fish and mammals that live inside there, you know. So.
No, I hear you. I just I don't know what they're going to do with everything. So I mean, the Living Sea. You're right, John. I don't know what they would do with all that stuff.
What are they going to do? Call up SeaWorld and say, hey, guys, you want to come over with some trucks? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they'll leave that, but they might change it a little bit, like do something else with it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All of a sudden, if every restaurant around property has fish specials.
Yeah. That's just wrong, John. It really is.
And
this one was raised perfectly for you over here. We fattened him up.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, heck, people go into Red Lobster every day and pick out a lobster to eat, don't you? So.
Dude, you want to know something? If I see a tank, I can't order lobster. I really can't.
Yeah, I don't want to look at it.
No, me neither, dude. Aerial images show Earth globe from Illuminations reflection on Earth currently being dismantled at Epcot. Is that not like totally one of cry your eyes out?
Yeah, that's sad.
Dude, how cool would it be to have? Now, if you were rich and privileged, I could see you doing this. Buy the ball and put it in your backyard and put on free shows and play the music. Right, John?
Based on what they've done with other things, I bet you what they'll do is chop that little that ball into.
Oh, they're gonna sell it as something. Pins.
Yep, they'll put it in pins. There'll be a little piece of that in a pin that says farewell to Illuminations. I mean, there's already pins out, but this one, it'll be a special limited edition one that actually has a chunk of the globe in it. What do you want to bet?
Dude, I will not bet you on that. Bob already has that set up for his 401k.
Hey, you know, the worst part is I'll probably buy one, too. So.
Yeah, because we're all idiots.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are, but that's very sad. What else do we have here, John? You almost home?
Actually, I'm sitting at Wally World. I got to run in and grab an item or two before I head home. So.
Oh, you're at Disney World?
At Wally World, Walmart.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that, John.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
How's
I wish I had a better selection.
I want to ask you, how's Verizon treating you?
Well, I drove all the way here. How was the connection?
Best connection you've ever had, I'll tell you that much. That's what made me think about it. How's it been at home?
It's slow. When Sprint worked, it was faster. But Verizon seems to work. So,
well, there you go.
I'll take slow versus not working, if you can understand. And it's actually about $140 cheaper, too.
There might be a way. They might be slowly speeded up for you, John, or something.
Yeah, I'm going to look into maybe some of these boosters that you can get, you know, and try to emphasize or, I don't know, embellish or increase the amount of signal that you have around your house. So we're going to look into that in a little bit. But for right now, it works. It's a little slow, but it works. So.
Well, that's good. Construction walls at Epcot will continue to are decorated with even more Epcot Pavilion logos, which they look pretty cool, John.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I've always loved the logos of the old pavilion, so it'd be interesting to see what the new ones look like. So,
did you hear there's a new lunch and dinner menu at the Kona Cafe at the Polynesian Resort?
Pat?
Here you go, Pat. At the world's greatest best resort ever, the Kona Cafe restaurant now has a new menu. The sushi roll, spicy tuna roll, $18. California roll, $18. Shrimp tempura, $18. Hamachi tuna roll, $18. And then a dragon roll is $18. And then they got specialty rolls, which is a surf and turf, which is a Kona spice filet, cucumber, chili, spice, lobster, crab, avocado, yuzu, aioli, and sriracha, $28. I bet you that's good as hell, John.
Surf and turf for $28 on Disney property?
Yeah, it's a roll, though, John. So it's sushi.
Okay. Sushi roll. Okay, I was going to say, whoa.
Yeah, but I bet you it's good. I bet you it's pretty big, too. Then they have a rainbow roll, which is tuna, salmon, kampachi, hamachi, lump crab, cucumber, and avocado for $24. Then they have the Poly Lolly Roll, fried soft shell crab, shrimp tempura, crawfish tail, grilled asparagus, chai, spicy mayonnaise, and tobiko. T-O-B-I-K-O. Tobacco?
Tobiko? I don't know.
Tobiko? I'll call it tobiko. But anyway, that's $28 too, or $26. That sounds really good, John. Do you like soft shell crab? I do.
Yes. Yes, yeah, and I like sushi, so I think I'd like most of what you just said. So.
I could see me and Brenda going here and getting three rolls and a couple beers and calling it a day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds great to split with somebody. So.
Yep, then they have the shrimp firecracker roll. You go with a couple couples, each of you buy two rolls, a couple drinks. This is a party.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the most enjoyable meals that me and Lisa and JJ had was at Tokyo Dining when me and him just got like three different rolls and split all the sushi rolls amongst us. So it was really good.
That's a good time. Then they got the shrimp firecracker rolls, a tempura shrimp, crab avocado, spicy tuna, cucumber, and a chili sauce for $28. Then they got Kona Camp samplers, which is a Kona sampler small, tuna poke for two pieces, a piece of negro, two pieces of sashimi, and three pieces of our California roll for $22. And then they have a large sampler, which is three of each, and five of the California roll, which is $28. Then they have nigori sample, which is a chef's choice of five pieces of seafood, $17. Sashimi sampler, chef's choice of eight pieces of seafood for $20. And then the vegetable is five pieces of nigiri, so $16. And they got poke bowls, which, John, is it? I might head over here.
Yeah, that sounds not that bad, and it sounds very fresh and tasty. So.
And then they got a whole new dinner menu. Here it is. It has a dinner offering, seafood coconut curry soup, shrimp scallop and crab for $10, glazed chicken wings for $12. Which we know they're good, John.
The honey coriander wings. Yes,
yeah.
They are.
crispy pork vegetable pot stickers for $10, and then a seafood poo-poo platter, which is calamari, rock shrimp, and crab leg for $18. Then they got chef recommendations, an Asian marinated Arline chicken with sticky rice, bok choy, and Asian glaze for $24. A Polynesia tuna nokusi. There's a tuna tataki, green beans, heirloom baby potatoes, toy box tomatoes, soy, teriyaki vinaigrette, and poached egg for $22. Then they got a steak salad with sunny side up egg, Kona house vinaigrette, sweet bell peppers, and kale and arugula blend for $23. Entrees, a mahi, bacon, lettuce, and tomato. That sounds pretty good, John.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Duck fried rice with a leg confit, crispy duck, spring roll, shiitake mushrooms, and a grilled bok choy. I bet you Lisa would like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like something she'd like.
And then they got, that's $32, and then they got Kona braised short ribs. Kona coffee braised short ribs, creamy mashed potatoes with roasted broccolini for $36. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Then they got burgers and sandwiches, crispy cheddar burger, big Kahuna burger, which is sautéed pastrami, corned beef, pepper jack, mustard aioli, and a tangy cucumber for $24. Hawaiian-style Reuben, which is Kalua pork, corned beef, kamachi, and a mustard tomato aioli for $18, and then a turkey bahami, slow roasted turkey breast, black pepper bacon, pork plate, cilantro, jalapeno onions, and a grilled polenta mayonnaise, poblano mayonnaise for $16. The Sheeny bowls, they have steak and seafood, which is a beef tenderloin for $38. It has a herb butter and braised cipollini, New York strip, and a Velasso salmon steak. So they have, these menus sound really good now, John.
Yeah, that does. We have eaten at Kona three times, twice for breakfast. The first time we had breakfast there was the best breakfast we ever had. Second time was okay, and then we had lunch one time, and it was okay. So it's interesting to see a new menu, so, and be worth to see what people say about it. You know, and I was thinking, Doug, that sushi menu for lunch, that sounds great in the summertime. You pop over to the Polynesian and just grab some sushi instead of one of those heavy fried dinners, you know, something fresh, light, keep you going. You have a beer and then head back to the park for the rest of the day. So,
yeah, it would be awesome. It would be. I mean, I would enjoy it. Do like we say, leave Magic Kingdom for lunch and go over there.
Absolutely. Instead of, you know, getting another fried burger or something heavy like that, a little sushi, a little cold sushi for you, that'd be good.
Yeah, save the $89 and go to Poly for breakfast or lunch.
There you go. There you go.
New Halloween art available at Wonderground Gallery in Downtown Disney, so that's pretty cool. I'm going to try to speed through this, John, to get you in the Wally World.
Yeah, probably to get me home before Lisa tries to kill me. So.
Well, maybe I'll hold you out a little longer. That's all I got. Hold on one second, Johnny. New vegan breakfast, Le Fou Festin at Be Our Guest Restaurant in the Magic Kingdom. You into that, John?
Anything with the word vegan in it's probably going the other direction. Vegetarian, I can deal with. It's got cheese and eggs and stuff like that. But vegan, I'm not too.
Nah, I hear you. Star Wars the Sith Trooper Long Fly Bag available at Epcot. Why is it available at Epcot?
Just to get people over to Epcot, apparently.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we got, we're going to have Rose and Crown t-shirts available at, what is it? What would you sell it at the,
Kingdom.
Yeah, well, Magic Kingdom on Main Street, they're going to start selling them, too.
There you go.
The new attraction ride vehicle models for Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure now on display at Epcot Experience Center. Dude, you got to get in and see that for me.
I'm going to do my best to get over there sometime very soon.
They have a new Mike Wazowski chocolate dome cake now scaring at Disney's Poly Resort. Poly's getting all the good stuff, John.
Yeah, sounds like it. Speaking of Mike Wazowski, the shirt that I saw today that that some couples were wearing that I do think is kind of cool and unique, although I'm sure I'll see too many of them very soon. But you might like this. I doubt if Doug and Brenda would ever wear these shirts, but they're cute nonetheless. The Mike Wazowski one says, I'm her, what was it, Snoogly Bear? And the other one says, I forgot his girlfriend's name in Monsters, Inc. You remember the line? I don't know. It's Mike and his girlfriend. They call each other nicknames in Monsters, Inc.
I remember the part.
Googly Bear is one, and I forgot what her name is. But anyway, so but they're kind of cute shirt, matching shirt. So.
That sounds cool. No, it's real cute, John. You should see the ride vehicle for Ratatouille. Have you seen it yet?
I saw the one for Guardians of the Galaxy. No, I haven't seen the one for Ratatouille yet.
Ratatouille is cool. It looks like it has a mice head as the front of the vehicle. It has Remy's face. Even though it's like gray with pink ears, but it's four people can sit in each car, and it has, or six people actually, but I would say more than like four comfy. And it really looks cool, John. It's like a mouse.
Yeah. How about a rat, Doug? How about a rat?
I'm calling it a mouse, dude. Ratatouille's a mouse. He's a cute mouse. He's not a rat.
All right.
But anyway, the ride vehicles, this looks cool, but I can't wait for you to head over there and check them out, John.
Yeah, it's on the list.
And what else do we have here, Johnny? I'm just going through one more minute, and I'll let you go. I think that's all we have, John. I'm going to let you go. Go have some fun in Walmart.
Woo!
Yeah, you're spoiled, John. Work all day and get to go shopping on the way home.
That's what I do.
And the final performance of our Muppets over at the Magic Kingdom, because Bob needs the money to save to get rid of all the entertainment. I know you can't be happy with all the entertainment cuts. Can you, John?
No. I miss all that stuff. But I think, like you said, some of the live entertainment starts to build a following, and once it does, then they start to ask for more money, which is correct. You know, if you have a following, you should get paid pretty well. And then once that happens, Disney cuts them loose. I mean, that's exactly what happened to Off Kilter. I mean, there was people that would go out of their way to see Off Kilter every time they went to Epcot. I don't think anybody went out of their way to see that chainsaw event. Do you, Doug?
No, I think people paid them to leave. Dude, that is the worst show I've ever seen on property. Like, I know I pick on Indiana Jones and all, but I actually really like that. It doesn't have rewatchability. I watched it a couple times with, you know, family members that went down with us again. Like, I think I seen that show three times, and I'm done with it now.
No, you're just saying that one's a little bit long in the tooth, but you're not decrying the fact that it's not a good show.
No, it was a great show.
That hasn't seen it before will enjoy it. No, the chainsaws was probably the stupidest thing I ever saw. And I think that needs to become our new slogan for a bomb. If we think it's going to bomb, we're going to have to say, you know, it's a chainsaw.
100%. And then if it's an idiot that comes on the ride, it's still an AB.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sure you had a few ABs today.
Oh, goodness gracious. I had a woman who got mad at me. Doug, we all know what Fast Pass is and the regular line. So especially at Pirates, there's a position on most attractions that's called merge. And as a cast member, you stand there, you stop the standby line, you allow the Fast Pass to come in, and vice versa. And you merge the people together. So once you're past that point, you're no longer in a Fast Pass or a standby line. You're in the regular line. Well, on Pirates, it's convenient most of the time to have the standby go to the left and the Fast Pass to go to your right. But every once in a while, if I'm trying to blow through the Fast Pass line like we're supposed to, we will send some of those folks over to the left, which it gets into the standby, where most of the time you have the standby people. But at that point, you're no longer in either line. You're just in line now. You're through your Fast Pass. And she got incredibly upset with me because I sent her into what she assumed was now the standby line. And I tried explaining to her, and it just couldn't sink into her mind. Okay, the Fast Pass is done now. You're in the ride.
Yes, you're merging now, honey.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, I get it. I could go on about an hour for what I dealt with yesterday, but I won't. But anyway. But no, Johnny, it was wonderful having you on. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your due diligence and your dedication to doing the show.
I'm trying, that's for sure. So.
Yes. You know, I think the only reason you do it is because you know how dedicated I've been over the years.
I feel guilty. So, you know, I mean, look at what Doug's done to keep the show going. I mean, the least I can do is try to talk on the way home. So.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it, John, so much. The 10 people out there that do like us, we try to do it for you, right, John?
Hey, we know we got some folks in South Carolina, New England, Alabama, and Texas.
And I think if we had 10 people to like us, 9 of them like you and 1 likes me, but that's okay, John.
They may like me, but they like hearing you rant about stuff. That's for sure.
I do it because I care, John. And, but anyway, I love all of our listeners. We really appreciate you guys hanging in there. Thank you. Please join our friend Alan. Go over and rant about us on podcast. Give us a review. Even if you just leave us a 5-star rating, you don't have to leave a big thing or leave anything. Just let us know you care, right, John?
Absolutely. The more reviews, that's the only way that other people can find our show, is by leaving reviews. So please, folks, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review. That would be fantastic.
We really appreciate it. Everybody be kind to one another. If you see John tomorrow, he'll be on the train. If you see him, he'll be at the train or over at Pirates. So go over and say hello to John. We love the when John says he met some of you guys from the show. So, I mean, when he's on the rides and we talk about he's on the show, we really enjoy that. So.
Yeah, it's the highlight of my day. Say Jumbo to me on Pirates and say Ahoy to me on trains, and I'll know what you mean.
There you go. Anyway, that'll be it, John. Like I said, everybody be kind to one another. We will talk to you real soon. Say goodbye, John.
Bye-bye, folks. Have a great week.
That's it, guys. We're going to pay our tabs, hop off our stools, and head on home. But we really appreciate you guys listening. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Also, if you could, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us all at our website. It's all in WDW. Everybody be kind to one another. We will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.